The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Bargaining with God. Ooh, how about that? Also, how does the world define a successful Christian? And then, how does God define a successful Christian? And what word can best define a successful Christian?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. Got some trivia today. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation or prayer requests or praise reports because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, we're going to do something we haven't done before. We're actually going to start with a trivia. What? Why? I'm going to explain that in just a second. Here is the trivia question. Get yourself ready. What Proverbs talks about an exceptional wife? What Proverbs talks about an exceptional wife? 972-445-0770 is the number. 972-445-0770. You're thinking, why are you starting this way? Because today is my anniversary. Aha! And you might be saying, well, which number is it? And the answer is, I can't tell you, or my wife will make sure we don't have another one. So that's my answer to you. I cannot share with you what it is yet. We already have a caller. Let's take this call, see what we got going on. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, happy anniversary to you, brother.
Thank you, Samson. How are you, bro?
I'm doing very well. It just happened to be. I'm driving so I could listen. So the answer is Proverbs 31:31.
That is correct, sir. Talks about an exceptional wife. And I noticed that there's not a lot of Proverbs talking about exceptional husbands.
I hear you, brother.
Yeah, some things are better left to. We'll see how that goes in heaven.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
How are you? A blessing over you and your wife and children's children. And may the Lord richly bless you.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Keep it up, the good work
okay,
for the
brother.
Kingdom. Love you, David.
All right, love
Bye-bye.
You too, man. Thank you, brother. Bye-bye. All right. So the reason I'm doing that, I'm actually going to still do a teaching this segment, but I do want to give the props and the acknowledgement. So an exceptional wife, I am blessed to have just the best. I have the best wife, okay? Now, I'm going to say these things, and some of you are going to get offended. Get over it, okay? One, she's beautiful. Two, she's my absolute best friend. In the last 20 years, we've spent one night apart. We just don't spend time apart. We just like each other. We've run two businesses together. We were next to each other all the time. We just, one of those couples that just kind of get along and like to be. And even if we're not doing the exact same thing, if we're in the same room, we're okay. Hence, when she watches some of her movies and I ignore that and I'm on the computer studying or something. We did that for years. The bottom line is I just want to give a big shout out to my wife. Total gift from the Lord. So to me, the Lord gave me the gift of himself first, and then my wife next, and then my children, and then my grandchildren. That's how I look at it. I don't tell everybody to look at it that same way. That's just how I'm how I kind of see it. She's super duper great. One of the things that she excels in is caring about how I feel and doing her best to serve me in the sense of trying to help me, trying to listen, trying to encourage me. I found it amazing. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and you get a waiter or a waitress, and the last thing these people should be doing is being a waiter or a waitress? It's like it's the last job they should have ever had. They should be stomping out concrete versus doing what they're doing. And that's like the customer service people that don't like people. Follow this. That's a bad idea. Or if you're an account manager and you don't know how to engage with your own clients, that's a bad idea. Don't do stuff like that. Go do something else. There's something else to be done. There's thousands and thousands of different opportunities. Start praying that the Lord opens that up or changes you. The idea is that I'm never going to be as good of a husband to my wife as she is a wife to me as a husband. She's the best. And I got lucky, and I'm very blessed to have her. So happy anniversary. I would when we woke up this morning, the first thing I thought of, and Wonder Julie will appreciate this, was the Flintstones. Right? Because you got to think, right? Because that's the classic, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. That's when Fred steals a piano and gets in trouble. And those are the things I remember, folks. I need help. All right. So I wanted to do that first, give the appropriate honor where it is due. If you are a husband or if you are a wife, if you just remember this rule, of course, you keep the Lord first no matter what, but try to outgive your husband or try to outgive your wife. When they do something great for you, be appreciative, respect that, but try to outgive them. Do even better. I already did 3 loads of laundry this morning. That's because now she's going to come back and do it, and then we just keep doing that. We keep winning each other. That's how you make it work. That's all I'm going to say. All right, so with that all said, I want to talk about bargaining with God. I don't know how one goes to the other, but it does. So just hang in there. Like we had mentioned before, we're looking. I had Glenn, my brother-in-law, had sent me a text. He was praying for the show, and he's like, maybe you should head into some expository. And it was in the back of my mind, but now it's kind of moving to the forefront of my mind. So I'm probably going to do something like a teaching on Ephesians. It's very scholarly compared to the one on Philippians, which is less scholarly. But sometimes the scholarly can be fun if you do it right. So I think we can do it right, and we might be heading that way. Before we get to all that stuff, let's just talk about this, bargaining with God. Because most people say, well, I would never do that. If you saw Burt Reynolds in the movie The End, he made a bargain with God. If God would let him live, he would give God 90% of his income. And at the end of the movie, when he finds out he's going to live, that goes back down to 5%. It's like it changes from 90% to 5%. Think that doesn't happen? Think that's not biblical? Let's see. This is out of Genesis, in case you're wondering where it's from. 18, verses, starting in verse 20. The Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and the sin so grievous, I will go down and see that what they have done, if it is bad, is the outcry that has reached me. The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare that place for the sake of 50 righteous people? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you, will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Verse 27, Abraham spoke up again. Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there, God said, I will not destroy it. Once again, he spoke to him. What if there's only 40 people there? For the sake of 40, I will not do it. Abraham said, may the Lord not be angry. Let me speak. What if there's only 30? Now, Abraham takes this down all the way to 10. So he starts with God at 50 and goes, if there's 50 righteous people, will you spare the city? And then he takes him all the way down. If there's 10 righteous people, will you spare the city? And God goes, yes. Now, remember, Lot's wife, Lot's two daughters, their husbands, that's six. So in multiple years, they only had to reach out to four people. If they were all going to be righteous, they only had to reach out to four people in years and years and years and years and years. They didn't do it. But that's not what I'm focusing on. They're focusing on the Abraham, the courage. And look at, he wasn't doing this in a way that was arrogant. Six times Abraham bargained with God, but he did it with humility. He said, look, I'm nothing but dust. Look, don't be mad at me. I'm just asking you, right? Here's why I bring that up. People, God does give us some room to be human. Did you hear me? God does give us some room to be human. It's okay. So Abraham's like, wait, 50 righteous people, will you spare it? Yes. Okay. And then he's probably thinking about Lot. He's thinking about Lot's wife and Lot's daughters. And then he's thinking, okay, maybe we should take that down to 40. Maybe we should go to 30. Maybe we should go to 20. Maybe 10. How about 10? And God said, fine. God knew all along that wasn't going to matter. But isn't it wonderful to see one of the people in the Bible called the friend, he was a friend of God, engage with God in such a way as to understand a little bit better than some kind of Monty Python reference where you can't look up at all, ever. I'm not there's times where you do beat your breast, but you don't continually keep your face in the dirt. You were created in the image and likeness of God, and he does like to hang out with you, and it is about that fellowship. And so Abraham gets in there with God, and he bargains with him. Now, why do I think that's important? Do I think that will work for you? No. I don't think it'll work. But I don't think it's bizarre to try. I think it's human. I don't think it's wrong to go, Lord, can you do this? Even Jesus said, hey, if this cup can pass for me, let that happen. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. But he did ask for it. In other words, it's okay to ask. It's just okay for God to say no. But it's okay to be a human being. That's how he created you. Don't be something you're not. In your mind, if you're thinking, boy, if I could just bargain with God, he knows you're doing that inside anyway. The key is you surrender to his decision, no matter what his decision is. But he's not asking you to be less of a human being in the process. You understand that? Be yourself. I love it. 40 righteous? Anyway, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well. Get to feeling groovy again.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, Does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second, and I said, yes, it's called hell.
That's brutal.
There are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Ah, that song's from Ishmael United. Let's see who remembers that. Oh, that's a classic right there. If you want to, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com is our website, is our email. Did I say davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and then call it a website? I did. Okay. Thank you. davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That's my email. The little Gmail at the end thing is kind of the clue. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. This segment, as you just heard, I love that jingle that they have, that Mr. Restore. That is a great job. Here, this segment's brought to you by Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
I don't know how you don't love that. If you've got any kind of fire and or water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in anywhere in the Irving, Texas, Grapevine, Fort Worth, anywhere in the Texas area, it doesn't matter. They're getting to be kind of a larger and larger company. They might even be moving into Colorado. I mean, they're just like, why are they getting bigger? Because they're excellent. That's why. So if it's for you, if it's for somebody you know, somebody's had some damage, they do free evaluations. They have advanced drying technology. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated with the BBB, Better Business Bureau, 50 years of restoration and of experience, and thousands of happy customers in Texas. That's pretty good. I met with Clint personally. We talked. Great guy. We actually were praying for one of their families when my grandson was going through what he was going through. They were, him and his wife were praying, and then we were praying for him and his wife. It's great. Family-owned and operated. Here's the bottom line. MrRestore.com. Mr. M-R. Restore. M-R. Mr. Restore. MrRestore.com. 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Got another trivia question kind of hanging out before we get there. Got to set up the long-termer right here. You're thinking, what's the long-termer, Dave? Well, this has to do with successful Christians. So I want to ask a question. You don't have to answer it. I want you to think about it, because in society today, we define people in parameters that we typically understand from society. So my question is, how a successful Christian may be defined by the world, and how a successful Christian might be defined by the Lord. So I'm going to kind of lay the groundwork on this. I just want you to understand, because what people look for is, you certainly want to, if you're a genuine Christian, okay, if you're Bible-believing, born-again Christian, you want to get to the end of this and have the Lord say, well done. That's what you want to hear. No, that's what you want. That's what, well, if you're not a Christian, keep in mind, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and God shows us his love for us. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us, and all you got to do is declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. That's a one-minute prayer to start an eternal journey that will alter you. But for those that are currently believers, how do you define what a successful Christian is? 1 Samuel 15, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. Listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says, I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death the men, the women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. And then there's people that listen to that and go, well, why would he say the kids and everything? Because they would grow up and try to retaliate and kill Israel. That's why. Then verse 11, God speaks to Samuel. I regret that I made Saul king because he's turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry. Okay, people do get angry. And he cried out to the Lord all night. When Samuel reached Saul, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I've carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is the lowing of cattle that I hear? And Saul said, I went on the mission for the Lord, destroyed the Amalekites. You know, the soldiers took the sheep and the cattle for their plunder, the best of what was devoted to God. Even then, as the prophet is challenging the king is justifying his actions. Here's Samuel, what Samuel said. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. So God gives a request for Saul. Saul goes through a process. The process is then reviewed with the prophet. King Saul is making excuses. And Samuel the prophet goes, look, what you did was disobey God. Because sacrifice, here, this is going to blow people's theological minds. Sacrifice has a lot more to do with religion, but obedience has more to do with response. Did you hear that? Sacrifice, oh, we're going to sacrifice the lambs. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. That has more to do with a religiosity and with customs and with the idea of ceremonial stuff. But obedience is a direct response to the Lord. And in the world, you can just know it now. There's no reason to think of it any differently. The world sees successful Christians as, one, people that don't irritate the world. Boy, Jesus would have failed there, huh? Two, people that have got lots of money and lots of power and lots of fame and lots of reach, and that they support the good, psychologically established by sinful man, good causes. Well, you should support homosexuality because we say so, because we think it's great. Fantastic. God says it's not and that it's a sin. It's one of the five things that's continually listed as polluting the land. Not candy wrappers, not digging into the soil, not any of that other stuff. It's just what it says. You might not like it. Too bad. God doesn't care. He's the creator. And so you got people out there and they're going, well, that's not how society is. No, that's how God is. Cultures change all the time, but truth doesn't change. Cultures ebb and flow. This wasn't any different than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's just that Sodom and Gomorrah was so bad, God said, that's it. Bye-bye. Brimstone sandwich. It's over. And this country is on a track. It's not even, here's the ultimate irony. It's not even that particular, it's any issue like that. This is the thing that drives me batty.
And people say, well, would you say that about adultery?
Yes.
Would you say that about fornication?
Yes. Would you say that about lying? Yes. In fact, in Revelation, it talks about a list of sins. And twice in the list, it mentions lying. It's like, God really doesn't like that. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They lied. Bam. Down they went. Shot by the Jehovah gun. Over. baptism is over. And it's like, the point of bringing that up to you is simple. God doesn't like this disobedience stuff, no matter what people think. And there's this mindset. It's like, no, Jesus, it's all about baby Jesus and all about the Christmas spirit. Really? Have you ever read Luke chapter 12, verse 51, where Jesus says, don't think I've come to bring peace, but I've come to bring a sword? Maybe it's time to review Luke 12. Maybe it's time to review Matthew 10, where Jesus says, I've come to separate families, you know, one, those that are for me and those that are against me. You think, well, that doesn't sound like the Christmas message. No, it doesn't, does it? Because the Christmas message has been morphed into some weird thing. By the way, if you have a manger scene, it's not biblically correct. The wise men didn't show up till 2 years after Jesus was born. How do you know that? Because Herod went to kill all the children 2 years and younger, based on the time. Anyhow, forget all that stuff. It's simple. God wants us to go, yep. Here's what it is. Yep or nope. God wants yep. He doesn't want it going the other way. He just wants people to do what he's asking them to do. If you think it's grievous, I can appreciate that your flesh is winning out over your spirit. Okay? You understand? How long do I got? What do I got? Like a minute? 3 minutes. All right. So here's the thing. The thing I want to say, you think, well, Dave, that's so harsh. Look, I'm not trying to be mean. I know. I'm not trying to be mean. That's my goal. If I was mean, I would just talk about the Lions all day since I'm from Detroit and they can't seem to ever win a game. That would be mean. Or that the Red Wings went 25 straight years in the playoffs and now they can't seem to win a hockey game. That would be mean. This is for life. I remember he wasn't a young man. He was older than me, so I apologize for saying he was a young man. I remember this man who came to me who had committed adultery. And his wife and him were getting a divorce. And he said to me, I'm going to tell you why God said don't commit adultery. I said, okay. Because I don't even know what's going on, right? He said, because if you do, you will create more pain in your life than you have any idea. And his whole point was that the commandment wasn't there to stop everybody from having fun. The commandment was there to keep people away from the pain. Like, wow, that's revelatory. You mean God tells us not to do things because it's actually going to help us? Who'd have thunk that? So the idea is for us to get on his page. Doesn't matter what the world, you know, the world, they love you 1 minute, hate you the next. You know, I was, and I'll just say this, and you guys know this is true. You know how they're all like bouncing up and down on all the Democratic candidates? it's like a yo-yo. Ding, 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 ding. Just wait till the one emerges. Then they're going to say, we knew it all along. This was the person all along, the one that we always thought could beat Trump. That's coming. I mean, it's coming. How do you not know? Because they're all liars and hypocrites. Not some of them, all of them. You think, it's like, okay, well, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's what it says in Romans 3. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Not going to get easier when you come back. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or a 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jing-a-dee-jing, the Italian Christmas Donkey, la, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la
That's for Zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be, celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the axe, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Wait, let's try that again. Here in Texas. I need a deeper voice. Here in Texas. Okay, I'm going to keep working on that. All right, here in Texas. Here's the bottom line. DavidSpoonMedia@gmail.com. Website, DavidSpoonMedia.com. You can also do davidspoon.com, but don't tell anybody. davidspoonmedia.com. You can go there and put up a prayer request. We keep them private unless you ask us to make them public. And we're just praying for people. There's nothing weird, nothing bizarre. It's just simple stuff. We like to pray for people and like to see that the Lord does great things in people's lives. That's part of the coolest part of Christianity. If you're having a hard time with somebody, which, you know, I mean, sometimes I have a hard time with people. Can you believe it? You pray for that person, then you're invested in that person, and you don't get as mad. It's true. Even if you have somebody that you encounter, maybe it's bad customer service, they're just not doing you right. If you pray for that person and you invest in that person, you'll be more hopeful for that person, and they'll have quite the bad attitude. Okay? All right. That's a fact of the walk. This segment brought to you by, we don't have a sound for this yet, so we're still working on it, the benefit link. I did get an email today, so I think Diana, who's the gal who created this whole thing, is a fascinating story. She's going to be in the studio. We're going to be doing some interviews, but I want to give them their reads up ahead of time to get it kind of going. The benefit link is straightforward Medicare information. It's Medicare basics, Medicare supplement plans, Medicare resources, and their whole process is they're passionate about providing peace of mind. Now, her story, the originator's story, the owner's story, has to do with her sister, and things didn't go work real well, and she was really sick. So they are just committed to this. Is like a lifetime mission. And you can call them for a free Medicare supplement quote, no obligation, nothing at all. You can speak with somebody with no requirements. Their phone number, they got a cool phone number, which I get lucky with these phone numbers. 972-BENEFIT. 972-BENEFIT. You can also go to thebenefitlink.com. Thebenefitlink.com. You'll be hearing more from about these folks. And as I get more information, I will be probably doing a better job sharing what they're all about, but they're passionate about providing peace of mind, and there's no charge to clients for the services, and they are available every day, a direct basis every day. 972-BENEFIT. If you call these guys, go, heard it on Spoon. All you gotta do is say Spoon, and that won't help you in anything you're doing with them, but it's fun to say it. Heard it on Spoon. All right, let's see. Let's give you another trivia question, then we'll get into this next segment because I want to be nice about it. Paul had a huge disagreement with this person while they were traveling companions. Such a big disagreement that they separated on the spot. Who am I talking about? Who had that big argument? 972-445-0770. So we're talking about obedience, and I want to talk to you about one of the classic stories of the Old Testament. I'm going to skip over some of it to get to the story part, okay? Because I want to show you something that's critical in the obedience request that God has for us. Now, Naaman was a commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Ooh. A band of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her, "If only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." As you know, the story goes on that Naaman went with his part of his army. They went, and they went to see Elisha. Not Elijah, Elisha. And when they went there, they were ready. He's ready to do whatever it takes, and here's what he says. Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry. He thought, "I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy." So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you to do something like wash and be cleaned?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored to him and became clean like that of a young boy. So the simplicity of the story is Naaman has leprosy. He's a commander in the army of Aram. Aram has a captive. They take people captive. One of them is this gal from Samaria. She says, "Oh man, if that guy would see Elisha, he'd be all better." So the king sends a letter to the king of Israel. "Make sure your guy heals my guy." It's just like the most bizarre thing. But Naaman goes and sees the prophet, and Elisha doesn't even go out to see him. He sends a messenger. It's a big insult for those that are not catching what's going on. It's just an insult. And then Elijah says, "Go into this river and go ahead and jump up and down so many times, 7 times, and you'll be clean." And so Naaman's attitude was, the guy didn't come out. He didn't wave his hand. He didn't stomp on the ground. The rivers where I come from are 10 times cleaner than the rivers of Israel. What is going on? I'm so mad at this guy. He went away in a rage, by the way, which doesn't mean he was a happy camper. It means he was not a happy camper. Now, the servants of Naaman said, "Well, if he'd asked you to do something simple you'd have done that." So he's asking you to do something simple. So the guy washes 7 times, comes up, and he's completely healed. Now, get this. What is that all about? It's about a bunch of things, but the most direct thing is it's just about Naaman doing what the prophet told him to do. Just do it. Just be obedient. Maybe God would have asked him to twirl around 30 times. Maybe Elijah would have said that. Doesn't matter. It might seem dumb. Do it anyway. Because the point is, if that's what the Lord asks you to do, and it's legitimate, it's the Lord, do it. So there was a minister who was teaching a group of pastors, and I'm just telling you the story. I wasn't there. I can't verify, but it's one of those things I think God would do. It just reminds me of that. So he was praying, doing his devotions, and the Lord heavily impressed upon him to go to the park and to sit at a table. And the guy goes to a park and sits at a table. Somebody comes up to him at the table and he shares the gospel with that person. And the person is led to the Lord, and he becomes born again. And it's like, wow, what a great time, right? The next day, the guy's all excited and hyped up, feels like the Lord impresses him to go again, goes again, sits on the table for 4 hours. Nobody comes. So in his complaint to the Lord, it was like, Nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. The way he communicated is he felt like the Lord told him, I don't care. I asked you to do it. It's not a matter of getting the results you think you're going to get, the method by which you think you're going to get them. It's about saying yes to God. That's what it's about. It's about saying, yes, sir. I mean, just think about that. Jesus tells that story in Matthew 21 about the two sons. He said, the one son, he said, hey, son, go work in the vineyard. And the one son goes, nope, I'm not going to do it. 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 And then he changed his mind, and later he went and worked in the vineyard. Then the other son he went to, he said, go work in the vineyard. And he goes, okay, I'll get it done right away. And he never went. So Jesus said, which of the two did what the father wanted? Well, the one that was really rebellious at first but eventually went, that's the one that was obedient. It doesn't matter what it is or how you think of it or how I think of it or where it pales on the scale or, well, what will other people think? If God tells you to do something, do it, right? Because when you die and stand before God, you're not going to be able to point to somebody else and go, well, that person thought it was stupid. Who cares? God's going to go, I told you. That's why you do what the Lord wants, the best you can, right? We've all said this before. You do your best, pray that it's blessed, let Jesus take care of the rest. But if the Lord gives you something, do it. If the Lord has you fast for some reason, do it. If he has you praying for somebody you don't like, do it. If he wants you to witness to somebody, do it. If he wants you to sing louder, do it. If he wants you to sing softer, do it. I don't care what it is. If it's God, and you know when it's the Lord. Well, how do I know it's the Lord? Well, probably the Lord won't have you sit in the corner of the church and spit nickels out of your mouth. Probably not going to happen. But may the Lord say you should bow before me as you worship me? Sure. But that's not our culture. I'm sorry, are you saved by your culture or by the Savior Jesus Christ? Which one? Well, tradition is very important. Not as important as salvation. Right? Only one has a heaven to put you in. That's it. And so you hear me talk about this, and I get kind of passionate about it because it's like, I'm not trying to tell you to be, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not trying to tell you to be radical. I'm trying to tell you to be responsive. I need to work on this. You need to work on this. We need to work on this. That sacrifice is a religion connection, but obedience is a response to God. And he wants his people to respond. I mean, I can close out with this. I can do this for 5 hours and just go through each segment. We're not going to, but just think about Noah. Build a boat. This big. Use this wood. See you in 100 years. It's like, wow. Wow, just do it. Wow, nobody ever built one before. So, nobody ever saw a flood before. It's a good idea that he did it. He did what the Lord said. He was righteous in the Lord's eyes. He walked with the Lord. He was responsive to God. Good idea. Really good idea. All right. What do we got, like a minute? Okay, 1 minute left. We'll take our break. Again, that trivia question. Who had the big disagreement with Paul and stopped hanging out with him? You know the answer. Give us a call. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. I will lay me down
in peace and sleep. Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car.
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh. It's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly. He's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED, because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLEST or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Attention, real estate people of Earth. You have an out-of-this-world opportunity to talk with a real estate professional who can give you insight and advice on real estate strategies. The real estate market is changing, and to miss this opportunity is to leave income and equity on the table. Don't do that. Don't miss out on the latest real estate run. Don't miss it again. Contact Pamela Melchiono. That's Pamela Melchiono. Go to theblessedrealtycompany.com, fill out the form, and schedule a free consultation with Pamela. Not only will you be glad you did, but you'll be sad if you don't. Real estate opportunities don't exist forever. Take advantage while you have the chance. Take advantage while you still can. Contact Pamela. Her service and spirit are excellent. Your results will be excellent. You will say, excellent. Call Pamela at 817-505-5541. That's 817-505-5541. Or go to our website and schedule a meeting, theblessedrealtycompany.com. You'll be glad you did. You'll be sad if you don't. That is all.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Texas, Texas, Texas.
Texas.
All right. Still working on it. I have a feeling it's going to be a forever thing. See, that part I got down, but I've done that for 5 years, so it's easy. DavidSpoonMedia@gmail.com email. And website, davidspoonmedia.com. This segment brought to you... Oh, wait. Before we do the segment, she's already... Let's already give it to her. I just want to make sure. So this trivia question, Paul had a huge disagreement with this travel companion to the point of separating. Who is it? And at the end of the show, I'll say if people don't know. This segment brought to you by our very own Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Dr. Brandon Brown, the Specific Chiropractic Center Director, Chiro Extraordinaire. You can reach him. His website, drbrandonbrown.com. 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 You can get in touch with him. My wife sees him. She has gotten a tremendous amount of relief. He does a great job, works with you. I'll tell you one thing that I'm just telling you. He doesn't always adjust people. I just think that's exactly the way to do it. Because every single time you see a chiropractor, every time, five times a week for 1,500 years, you need to get an adjustment. Like, does it ever work? That's my attitude. So I'm really glad that he does it the way he does it. 972-454-9362. 972-454-9362. DrBrandonBrown.com. All right, let's take to this next step. We've been talking about obedience. And we've been talking about the successful Christian. If you have not yet figured out what word is the key in making a Christian successful, it's obedience. If you want to be a successful Christian, obedience leads to that position. Obedience leads to a confidence, which leads to a success in the kingdom because you're doing what God wants. That's kind of like the most important part, you know? Of the whole thing. Acts chapter 5, 27 through 29, the apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teachings and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Right, there you go. Now, people will abuse that scripture and say, don't do anything they say, do this, you know, be rebellious, be violent. It doesn't say be violent. There is no violence here. The way that Christians win their warfare and their arguments is spiritual reasoning and discussions. That's how you win. And the Holy Spirit does the work. You're not going to save anybody ever. Only God saves somebody. And only God needs to support the truth. You just need to be a vehicle. That's all you're called to. You're not even called to win the argument. You're just called to be a vehicle for the Lord. That's all. And the idea is to obey God. So you would think, well, wait a minute, obey God rather than human beings. How does that work? Well, what it means is you don't do anything violent ever because Christianity doesn't support that. There's nothing in Christianity that supports that mindset, and people that do that are morons. Dave, you can't say moron. Moron, moron, moron. They're more off than they are more on. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you obey God. You do stand with what God's truth is. You don't move off that truth. When they say you can't preach that because it's against our law, because we've changed our law and we've outlawed the word of God, you say this is the truth and I'm going to teach it. And that's the result because we have to obey God rather than human beings. These, by the way, were not just religious leaders. The Sanhedrin was a powerful political court. And they were like, you do what we tell you. And they were like, no. Well, there you go. No, I'm going to do what God says. Because when I die, you don't have a heaven to put me in. He does. And those are those big things. The huge things, right? And if you think about it, just to obey the commandments, not overly, you know, complex. You know, Jesus said, John 14, 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them and will come and we will make our home with them. Okay. If you love the Lord, you're going to do what he says. Now, he gave us a break by doing a summation in Matthew 22, 34 through 40, regarding what it is we got to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. It is not it. It is not the word equal in Greek. It is love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Why? Because you can't love yourself or your neighbor. It's completely void if you don't love God. Doesn't work. You got to have a flow from the top to you and then from you to the sides. That's all. But the real big thing in that is to catch this, that to obey, and when Jesus says that word obey, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, that word in the Greek is akouo, A-K-O-U-O. I think it's like akouo, but that's how I pronounce it. But it means to hearken, to hear with a response. It's closely connected to hoop akouo, answering the door. It's like somebody knocking on a door and you respond. You open the door. Well, in obedience, responding is that obedience part. It does remind us of Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Of course, that was written to the church, not to unbelievers, but it's a good application when you're doing an altar call. It's just written to the church. The Lord's standing at your door of your heart knocking on certain things for obedience, and you either open the door or you don't, and he wants you to open the door. Hapakayo and then akayo, same thing, only it's more of an emphasis in the revelation. The bottom line is we need to obey the Lord. That doesn't mean you go out with a sandwich sign on the side of the road in nothing but your underwear and say, you know, repent for the world's coming to an end because you did too many drugs. That's not what it's saying. Okay, if the Lord tells you to do that, I think I'd check on the council part of that, but I'm just saying the idea is just to respond to the Lord. He loves you. He's not going to have you do something, never have you do anything contrary to his word. The word is the plumb line, always. The word of God is our plumb line. That's our standard. If the Lord tells you to do something in the framework of the word, do it. I mean, here's a better question. Why not? And number two, you want to walk funny? I mean, just do what the Lord tells you to do. I'm not trying to get you to be religious. I'm not trying to get you to be hyper spiritual or hyper anything. Just maybe we could all just be a little faster on yes, Lord. Maybe that's a big part of it. I think that's an important part of it. In regards to who Paul had that disagreement with, that was Barnabas. Remember, he had such a outing with Barnabas, Acts chapter 15. Barnabas went one way and Paul went another way. Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas, right? A little bit of indication that Paul was probably more right in that moment, maybe. Paul's argument was he wasn't faithful, so he didn't want to go with him. However, Barnabas was the one who went and got Paul and brought him back in. And by the way, the person that Paul was not happy with was John Mark, who is also known as Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark. So he didn't end up doing poorly. He ended up writing a gospel. That's how much of a redeemer God is. And that's kind of a cool thing, even though he took a unique route to get there. When you hear me doing some of these teachings, okay, this is not the expository, this is topical, but when you hear me do some of these teachings, I don't want you to ever take on a guilt that I'm trying to put on you or anything. If you want to feel guilty, come over. I'll drop some of my mom's stuff on you. You can be guilty all day long. What I want you to do is just seek to walk closer with the Lord. Make it a part of what you're doing. Make it a part of your thought process. If the Lord doesn't affirm it, if you can't find it in the Word, if the Holy Spirit doesn't direct you that way, you do what God says. No matter who the preacher is, no matter who the teacher is, no matter who the prophet is, you do what God says based on His Word as the plumb line and as the Lord leads, guides, and directs you. Not everybody's a Baptist. Not everybody's a Pentecostal. Not everybody's a Methodist. Not everybody's a Presbyterian. Not everybody does it the exact same way. In fact, in ice cream, there's chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry, and now there's 56,000 other flavors, too. I don't know. I can't help you on that. Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.